Today's daf in Masechet Yomah, right here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, on daf Nunchet, and we got up to the two dots, which brings us to within five lines in the middle. So Natanata Malei Bereikan. So where are we up to? We in the Mishnah was that the next step that the Kohen Gadol did was that he put the full Mizrak, that was full of blood, he poured it into the empty one. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah is very confusing. I mean, the way we explained it is the way the Gemara comes out, which is that first he poured the one dam into the other, then he poured the full one back into the other one. But it's not clear what that means, Natanata Malei Bereikan. I mean, at this point, the Gemara thought that what it was referring to, interestingly enough, he took the empty Mizrak, and he put the full Mizrak into the empty Mizrak. Not that he put the contents of the Mizrak back into the original Mizrak. So because of that, we bring this issue. Can you put a full Mizrak into an empty Mizrak and hold it from the outside? And is that considered to be V'lakach HaKohen, or is it considered to be a Chatzitza? Because it's going to be the empty one in between your hand and the inside one, which is the one that you're using for the actual Hazayah. And therefore, we bring this general question, and we attempt to bring a Raya from our Mishnah, which is the Derech the Gemara always. Boy mine Rami Bar Choma Mirav Chista. So therefore, we bring the question that Rami Bar Choma raised. What would be the din if you took, just in general, nothing to do with Avedas Yom HaKippurim, you took a Mizrak of Dam, and you set it inside of another Mizrak, and then you went ahead and you were makabel the dam, withholding the two. You were makabel the dam and the inside one. Is that considered to be an act of aveda with the hand of the kohen or not? What is it? Nogea min bimino chotzeitz or eino chotzeitz? Because the mizrak is the same as the mizrak that's inside. So the question is: do the same materials act as a chatzitza? I understand that if you would put, let's say, paint or something on the outside of a Mizrak, maybe that's a Chatzitza. But to put Mizrak on the outside of a Mizrak, that's not a Chatzitza. Now, we certainly know, let's say, the Kohen would wear a glove. If he would wear a glove, then it would be a Chatzitza between his hand and what it is that he's holding. The question is this considered to be a Chatzitza or not? Now, I must warn you that this sugya is really a bit more complicated than it appears. And that's because of the sugya, as Tosis points out, about a lulav. And the question is, can you make a holder for a lulav? So, over there, the Gemara does not consider the problem of chatzitza. And the Gemara comes out over there that holding something, al yedei davar acher, is considered to be holding it. So, I mean, the question is, if you could make like a, you know, the holders they make for the lulav. So people are makbid because of the inyan of chatzitza, as we'll speak out in a moment, to make those little holders out of kaishalach. So the kaishalach, what they do is they take pieces of lulav and they weave them into these hand holders, which you've seen, I'm sure, sometimes with plays for the aravis and the hadassim sticking out of the side, sometimes holding everything together. But the question is, how do we explain that lekicha al yedei davar acher is shma lekicha? And there's no problem of chatzitza, because over there in the Gemara in Sukkah was talking about holding your lulav with a golden holder. So therefore, Tosis explains there's two different issues over here. If you are holding something with a holder of some kind, that is meant to be the holder of the other thing, and you grab the other thing through this holder, then the Gemara indeed comes out that that's not an issue of chatzitza. That's considered to be lekicha yedei davar acher. The question would be, in order to do that, you'd have to be holding this mizrak from the outside of the outside mizrak. And that would be lekicha yedei davar acher. It would be like a holder for the Mizrak. But if you put your hand underneath the two Mizrakot, then it's just the Chatzitza, because you're not holding it with the other one. And since in this case, you're talking about a very heavy Mizrak, because it's full of all of the Dhammapar and all of the Dhammasara. That's a lot of Dham. There's no way that this coin is just holding it with his fingertips. He's got to be supporting it in all of this from the bottom. And therefore, it becomes the issue of its being a chatzitza, because then it's similar to there being something on his hand, and not something that becomes batal to what it is that you're carrying. So this is the way Tosafot understands the difference in the sugya there. If you learn that there's still a separate issue of chatzitza, that's why the people are makbid to hold the lulav with the kaishalach instead of with some other type of holder, because we're worried that it's going to be held in a way that won't consider it to be bottled to the lulav. Anyway, so when he asked them this question, can you put a full mizrak into an empty mizrak? Or can you put one mizrak into another and use it for the Kabbalah Saddam or use it for the Olacha Saddam? So he said, well, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah, Amar Leitani Tua, why that is an open Mishnah, as it says in Yuma, Natanata Male Bereikan. So what does that mean, Natanata Male Bereikan? Doesn't that mean that he takes the mizrak that's full of blood and he puts it into the empty mizrak that previously held the blood that he poured out into this mizrak, and it says that he can do the hazaya that way? And that means that it's obviously not a chatzitza. Isn't that what it means? No, says the Gemara, doesn't mean that. It means he took the contents of the full mizrak and poured the contents of the full mizrak into the empty mizrak. Well, how could it mean that? He already did that. I mean, doesn't it say Atana Liberation? It says in the first part of the Mishnah, he took the mizrak with the Dam HaPar, and he poured it into the mizrak with the Dam of the Sa'ir, and he already did that, right? So why is he doing it again? I mean, that doesn't make sense. It must mean what I suggested, that he took the full mizrak and he put the mizrak, one mizrak, inside of the other mizrak, right? Because why would he do it twice? No, says the Gemara, he does it. He does do it twice, but the reason he does it is he pours the full contents into the empty one the way you and I would. If we're trying to mix something well, and we poured the contents of one bowl into the other, we would then pour it into the other one to make sure that it gets mixed up very well, just to make it a more homogeneous mixture. So this he does, kedela arvam yafe yafe, because we want the dummy to be mixed, because we want to make sure that there's going to be hazoya on the mizbeach from both of the dummy. Not that one should settle on top and the bottom, and maybe you'll do the hazoya only for one, so we mix it. Well, that's all it means. Okay, says the Gemara, but I can bring you a raya from the Mishnah in Zvachim, because the Mishnah in Zvachim is talking about chatzitza. Over here, it's talking about a chatzitza between your foot and the floor of the Azara. And we learn out that the floor of the Azara has the ability to be Mekadesh things that are on it. It can actually be Makriv on it. And therefore, it's similar to Klishores. And you have to have no chatzitza, the same way no chatzitza between your hand and the klisharis that you're using. No chatzitza between your foot and, which of course is bare, your bare foot, the coin's bare foot, and the floor of the azara. So over there, the Mishnah in Zvachim says that suppose the coin was standing on top of a kli or on top of a foot of another coin. O agabe rego chavero. So it says over there that the entire Aveda that he did would be puzzle, because it was a chatzitza between him and the Azora. Now, that foot, as far as I know, other people's feet are made out of the same thing that your foot is made out of, and therefore it's min b'mina. And min b'mina, obviously, puzzles. That's what it says over here, right? No, says the Gemara, there's something different about a foot, don't you think? I mean, the reason that a foot is considered to be a chatzitza is because the other Kohen did not give you his foot to keep. If you're standing on his foot, he's probably screaming, get off of me, you idiot. And therefore, it's a chatzitza because it's never going to be batal de lo mevatale. He's not mevatal his foot for you. And therefore, what you're doing is you're standing on something that you can't really continue to stand on. Majenkein, I mean, the mizrak could certainly be batal to the other mizrak because you decided to leave it there. That's a different issue. Ikari Ami. Now, others learned that the question that Rami was asking was like this, that Hachibai Minei, not the question of whether it's a chatzitza, but a completely different issue. When the Torah says to do Aveda, it says it in the context of v'sheiret. Now, v'sheiret means to do an act of sheirut. Sheirut is to serve. And that would be, like people say, you know, I'm talking to customer service, I expect service. If I have a waiter, I want service from the waiters. There's two different things. There is getting the job done, and then there's getting the job done properly. You know, so if you get this New York waiter who throws the food in front of you and half it splatters over your suit and so on and so forth, that's not called sheirut, although it may be called waiting. But that's about it. The same thing is true in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're going to be doing things, it has to be done as an act of proper service. So what I want to know is it considered to be proper service to use one mizrak inside of another mizrak? I mean, it's just not nice. You know, so if the waiter comes and he properly presents the food, so then you consider it to be proper service. Then the same thing in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen is basically waiting, so to speak, on the Shechina. So is this proper or not? And then it's defined by Derech Sherut. That's what Rabbi Bar Choma wanted to know. Is it considered to be Derech Sherut Pekach, to have the dam inside of a Mizrak, which itself is inside of another Mizrak? Or is that called an inappropriate Sherut, and therefore the Avodah is possible because it's not Derech Sherut? Well, let's see if we can bring a raya. Tashma. The Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, it says in the Torah, et kol kalei hasharet asher yishartu bam bakodesh. So we're talking about over there in Noso, we're about to take off. It talks about the way that the Kohanim and the Levium were first packing up. The Kohanim were packing up, the Levium were carrying. And it uses the lashon of kalei hasharet. A klei hasharet, points out Rabbi Yishmael, klei is loshen rabim, and sheret could be one single sherut. Mashma that I could use two kelim for doing one sherut. So you see from there that putting one mizrak in another mizrak would be acceptable. Boimine Rami Bar Choma, another question that Rami Bar Choma raised that has to do with the issue of chatzitza or derech sherus is this. Suppose you line the inside of the Mizrak with some sieve. Sieve is like this palm that grows around the palm. They call it bast. Do you put it around? Now, the question over there is like this. Binogea, the issue of chatzitza. Admittedly, palm bast is certainly not the same min as the kli. And therefore, it should be a chatzitza. But there's another issue. It's very porous. So if it's porous, whatever the blood is inside, it's not going to be stopped by pombast. It's just going to get to the sides through it. So the question is this considered to be a normal chatzitza because it's min b'sheino mino and it's chotzeitz? Or in this case, it's not chotzeitz. Why in this case would it be different? Because kiva de mechalchel, do we say since this is so porous that the blood can get through it, it's not considered to be a chatzitza? Oduma loshno? Or maybe, look, the fact that ultimately you can make your way through it doesn't mean that you're not holding that dam inside of a plastic-lined mizrak. And a plastic-lined mizrak is not considered to be a proper mizrak. It's supposed to be made out of gold. So it should be a chatzitza. So he said, Rav Chista said to Rami Bar Choma, Tanina, this is also a Mishnah from Masechet Parah. Because remember that in terms of a Parah Aduma, you also have this halacha that the mayim has to be mayim chayim el keli. Let's go directly into the kli, and it cannot have a chatzitza between the water and the kli. So that means if you would use cellulose, and that would be sieve, right? So you would be basically lining it with paper. When you're lining it with a sieve, it wouldn't be good. But here we've got an equivalent situation because there's another problem with the Parah Aduma. If you have water that is not in the kli, and it mixes with the other water, so then it will passolate. Now, the case that's given in the Mishnah is that you have a sponge at the bottom of the kli that you are collecting the water from the Parah Aduma in. So there the Mishnah is discussing, well, what do I do to make sure that the water from the sponge doesn't get into the water of the Parah Aduma that I'm going to be mixing with the Ephra Parah, because a sponge is not considered to be a kli, because the way that it holds things is not the way that a kli holds things. So it would not be Mayim Chayim El Keli. Okay, so the Mishnah over there discusses what to do to make sure that as you take the water out of the container, you make sure not to get to the level of the sponge where you might be getting water out of the sponge. That's all very nice, says Rav Chisda. But what about the fact that the sponge itself is a chatzitza between the water that comes in that's not in the sponge and the kli in which the sponge is located? How come the Mishnah doesn't think that that's a problem? I'll tell you why. It's because the sponge is obviously very porous. And therefore, we don't care about porous things to see them as chatzitzas. The same thing would be true about siv. Siv is also porous. So therefore, I say, take a look at the Mishnah in Masechet Parah, and you shall see your solution. So you should draw the water out from the kli until the level of the sponge, and that way there won't be water in the sponge. Okay, but what about the fact that the sponge is there? Why isn't that considered to be a chatzitza? Must be because, just like sieve, the sponge is porous. No, says Rami, not necessarily. Remember what they say, blood is thicker than water. Well, that's exactly the point. Water in the sponge may not be considered to be a chatzitza because, look, I mean, shani moye de kalishe. Water is different because it's just so thin. The obviously different viscosity between the blood and the water. I mean, the water is going to just not be affected by the presence of a sponge. Igani amri. Others learn that Rami Bar Chama actually was told an answer, not brought a raya. And Rav Chisda gave him a straightforward answer, la'alocha. And he told him like this, Binogeya the dam. So over there, it would, even dam would be okay in this case of taking the cellulose from the palm tree and putting it inside of the mizrak, because it will ultimately find its way through, and therefore it's not considered to be a chatzitza. But if you try to do this in the kli that you're being mekadesh the komets of a mincha, to be mekadesh the komets, which is solid, the solet, then it would be pasul, because there it most definitely is a chatzitza of an enomino inamino. And now we are ready for our favorite kapitan, who certainly has not fallen asleep at the wheel.
No
way.
Oh, as awake as awake could be.
That's quite amazing. Wow, truly awake. Wonderful.
Did you drink during the break?
I always drink, Barnea, always. I've actually decided there was only one way to avoid the Barnea problem, so I had my son-in-law set up a glucose drip so that now you can't ever bother me again.
Very sweet.
The next thing that the Kohen Gadol does is based on the Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, V'yatsa el hamizbeach asher lifnei Hashem. So then after he does the Zrikas Hadam on the Parochet, he shall walk out. Walk out? What do you mean walk out? He's in the Heichal already. That's going to be the key word here. He shall walk out to the Mizbeach, which is in front of Hashem. Now, that's referring to the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is in the Heichal, Lifnei Hashem. And then he's standing in front of the four corners of the Mizbeach. And when I say the four corners, I mean the four corners. He walks around, as we'll see, stands in front of each corner separately. And because of that, he starts to do the Nisinat HaDam by moving his fingers downward along the Keren, not upward. So the issue over here is Where is he standing? This Mishnah is assuming that he is standing each time directly in front of the Keren, and then he moves to the next Keren, because otherwise there would be no explanation of why he has to move downwards. The moving downwards is only a logistical problem. So remember that as he's standing next to the Mizbeach, he is not going to be able to twist his hand so that it's down, right? Because that's extremely difficult since the Mizbeach was quite high. It's two amas high, and then you have the Keren. So what he's got to do, he's got to hold his hand like this. If you're holding your hand like that right in front of you, and you're moving up at about the shoulder height here, you're moving up along the Keren of the Mizbeach, what is going to happen is the blood's going to drip onto your sleeve. And then the Big Day Kuna will get dirty, and that's a psul in the Big Day Kuna. So therefore, what he's got to do is he has to move his hand in a direction which is opposite of the way the blood is flowing. So he's moving his hand faster, going downwards, while the blood is sticking to the side of the Mizbeach before it has a chance to drip down. So he's got to move in that direction to be Mechate V'Yored. Now, if he were not moving from one Keren to the other Keren, but instead he would be stretching his arm over to the other side, which is not very difficult because, after all, the Mizbeach HaZahav was only one Amah. So he could be standing on one side and move his hand. Then it would be very easy. He could move his hand down, starting down and coming up, which is exactly what he would do, except for the corner which he is standing next to, right? So the Mishnah, therefore, since it says that he has to give on all four kronot, he has to move his arm from top to bottom, mechate v'yored. By the way, Rashi is of the opinion that the word mechate means moving downwards. So it's not only that the understanding of the yored is this way. Not everybody agrees with it. So the question is, where exactly did he start? Now, remember on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Kohen begins by going up on the Kevesh, which is on the southern side of the Mizbeach, right? In the middle. Now, once he gets to the Mizbeach, if he's going to be walking around the Mizbeach, then he has to turn right. So therefore, the first corner that the Kohen will get to on Achatas is on the south east, because when you turn right, you're turning east if you started on the south, obviously. So then he would continue to go around in a counterclockwise direction. Now, over here, he is starting facing west, because he is east now of the Mizbeach, this is a Yatzala Mizbeach, and he's facing the Heichal. So now, how does he walk around here? Well, he starts on the east side, but he starts to the tzad of, which is tzvonit, which is going to be to his left. And then what he does, he goes from there, he starts on the northeast, because he's at the east, and then he goes ahead to the tzvonit ma'aravit. So he began with the eastern side, then he's going to go to the western side? Gee, that's weird. Then he's going around clockwise. I don't get it. Ma'aravit dromit. Then he gets to the southwest. It's confusing because in English you put the south first. So he goes to the southwest side, and then he goes to the southeast side. Now, why would we go in that direction? He's basically coming to the place where he would begin if he was standing on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, right? Because Makom Shu Matchil Bechatat HaMizbeach HaChitzon, the first place that you get to when you turn right counterclockwise on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, when you're standing coming up from the south, is you go to the southeast. Masha Einkein, over here, you go to the northeast, so that when you get back, the last thing that you get to is to the southeast. We'll see why in the world we would do it in that direction, which we're going to discuss. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you do not walk around at all. you basically stand in one place and you move your arm. And therefore, since you move your arm, the correct way to do it would be to go from the bottom up, not from the top down, except for the corner that's right in front of you, where there you have no choice but to go from the top down in order to avoid getting your sleeves dirty. So therefore, b'mekomo aya omed u'mechate, he would stand where he was, and al kulam ayonotim milamata lamala, except for the one that he's standing next to. Chutz mizur shaita lefanav. So he would always take his hand, start at the bottom of the keren and go up, except when he's on the side that he's facing, and then he would have his fingers facing up, and therefore he would move down quickly to make sure none of the blood gets on him. Shayanotain, the one that's next to him, he would go milamala lamata. Then what did he do when he finished the four natinot on the mizbeach, on the kranot of the mizbeach? Then he would sprinkle, not put with his finger, but sprinkle the dam al taharo shalam mizbeach, on whatever taharo means. It means actually that he cleans off the top of the mizbeach from any ketor that was on it, and he puts the blood directly on the metal of the mizbeach, and he sprinkles sheva pa'amim. And that we learn out from the pasuk, v'yizah lav min adam be'etzpa'o sheva pa'amim, as it says, v'tiaro v'kitcho mitumot m'nei Yisrael. Now, what does he do with the leftovers? He's still going to have a lot of leftover dam. He takes the leftovers and he pours them on the mizbeach hachitzon, going out of the heichal. V'yashofecha yisod ma'aravi shal mizbeach hachitzon, and he would pour it on the part that is directly outside of the door as he comes out, which would be the part of the yisod that is facing west. Whereas if he was dealing with the shirayim of a mechatas that was brought on the mizbeach hachitzon, he would have been pouring the shiyore hadam on the yisod hadromi and not on the yisod hamaravi. Okay, but in both cases, elu ve'elu, whether we're talking about the dam that was shirayim that had been poured on the yisod of maravi or had been poured on the yisod hadromi and they were part of the shiyore of the chatot hachitzoniot, in the end it would all come out to the same place because it would drip down off of the yisod, fall into the water channel, and from the water channel would go out, elu ve'elu mitarvim ba'ama, they would, all the dami would mix together in the water channel, v'yotzim l'nachal Kidron, and they would go out into the valley of the Kidron, and over there they would be sold by the gizborim of the Beis HaMikdash for gardening uses, for fertilizer, and there was an Isser D'Rabbanan, and even though there's no Me'ilah D'Oraisa, because anything that was already Naset Mitzvato, there's no Me'ilah on, but there was an Isser Anom D'Rabbanan, which we call over here Me'ilah, and you wouldn't be allowed to use it unless you paid the Beis HaMikdash for the use of the Shiorei Hadam. Okay, so what we said over here is that you do the same thing in the Heichal, as you do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you move to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now, what's interesting is that the Mizbeach HaZahav had also a different Aveda that was done to it in the event that there was a Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibur, or the Par Hora'ah of the Kohen Mashiach. So over there you would also sprinkle towards the Parochet, and you would also put the dam on the Mizbeach HaZahav. What is the interrelationship between those Avedas? The Aveda on Yom Kippur and the Aveda of the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, or the Milmokor of it, as we'll see, because we learned it from the Pasuk, is from the Kohen HaMashiach that made a mistake. And when he makes a mistake and he does a chet of a chi of kares based on that mistake in Hora'ah, so then he brings a chatas hapnimit, which seems on the surface to be treated exactly the way that the chataot hapnimiot on their second stage, which is when we do a hazoya on the parochet as opposed to the first stage, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, which was on the Kaporet, the second stage seems to be similar to the first stage, or the only stage, of the Par Helam Dover, the Par Kohen Mashiach. However, if we look carefully at the Psukim, it was not similar. And as I mentioned earlier, the way that we know that it's not similar is from that key word, which is V'yatsa El HaMizbeach, which didn't make any sense on the surface because he was already outside in the Heichal. So how could he go further? So Tana Rabbana, this Braita analyzes the psukim as they appear Legabe Yom Kippur and as they appear Legabe the par of the Kohen Mashiach. So first it says Legabe Yom Kippur, and only Legabe Yom Kippur. It says, V'yatzalam izbeach asher lifnei Hashem v'chiper alav. Now, what is the meaning of that word, V'yatza? I mean, it did not need to say that. He was already there, right? So how did he yatza? Amar Rabbi Nechemiah, I'll tell you why this is so important. Because if you look at the pasuk that describes the avida of the par habal kol ha-mitzvot, what you're talking about over there, the par of the Kohen Mashiach, so there, the Kohen stands at the entranceway to the Heichal, walks up to the Mizbeach, but does not walk past the Mizbeach. And he's standing at the Mizbeach facing the Heichal, facing the parochet, obviously, I mean, facing the parochet of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then, as he's doing the Hazoya towards the parochet, he does not walk closer up to the parochet. He stands in front of the Mizbeach Hazov, and he does first Hazoya towards the parochet from there, and then he continues on to do whatever he does on the Mizbeach. So the Kohen is Omed Chutz LeMizbeach, Umazeh Ala Parochet B'Sha'ash Umazeh, when he does that first, B'Sha'ash Umazeh on the parochet, he's still standing Chutz LeMizbeach. So you might have thought that we do the same thing that we do for the Par Kohen Mashiach on Yom Kippur. Yochol Avzeke, Talmud Lomar, V'yatza El HaMizbeach, Heichan Haya. If you're telling me he has to walk out towards the Mizbeach, well, where was he until now? Obviously, he was within the area next to the Parochet. So now, in order to get to the Mizbeach, he has to walk out, so to speak, from between the Mizbeach and the Parochet. He now walks out to stand in front of the Mizbeach in order to do the Aveda on the Mizbeach. That's why it says V'yatza. And from the fact that he needed to walk out, it's evident that that's not where he was until now. So that would mean that it's telling us, do not do the Avedas Yom HaKippurim in the same way that you do the Aveda of the Parabal Kol HaMitzvahs, and though by the Parabal Kol HaMitzvahs, you're standing outside. How do we know that? We'll see in a moment. That too were medayik from the pasuk that appears there. So you do not apply that din to Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur, you have to stand right up against the parochet itself, and then you walk back outside, towards the outside, to be outside of the Mizbeach. Because we found by the parabol kol ha-mitzvot that the Kohen dafke zomit chutz l'mizbeach. And his mazel, aporochet b'sha'ash u'mazeh, yochel avzekein, Talmud omar v'yatza l'mizbeach, which teaches you that he must have been somewhere else. Hey, Chanaya, where's that somewhere else? Obviously, lifnim in the Mizbeach. Now, the other braita analyzes the other dam, namely the dam of the Par Kohen Mashiach. So it says, by the Par Kohen Mashiach, lifnei Hashem. So it uses the Lashon over there also. V'natan ha-Kohen min adam, al-karnot mizbach, ketoret ha-samim, lifnei Hashem asher be'ol moed. So there we question, lifnei Hashem, surely you don't need to tell me that the Mizbeach of the Ketoret HaSamim is Lifnei Hashem. I mean, I learned about that back in Shemot. What are you telling me in the beginning of Ayikra, where you're talking about bringing now the dam for the Mashiach's korban? Obviously, it's Lifnei Hashem. Ma'at Talmud Lomar Lifnei Hashem. Omer Rebbe Nechemiah. This is the mirror image of what we just explained. Since on Yom Kippur, the Parvasor Shiyom HaKippurim, we found that the Kohen is supposed to be standing next to the Parochet, and he passes, he's within the area between the Mizbeach and the Parochet. And therefore, B'sha'ashu Mazeh, he's standing next to it, Yochel Avzekein, you would have made the mistake of thinking that obviously that's what I do when I'm bringing the Par of the Kohen Mashiach in the Heichal. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Mizbach Ketoret HaSamim Lifnei Hashem Asher Be'ol Moed teaches me the Mizbeach is Lifnei Hashem, but not the Kohen Lifnei Hashem. Beautiful diuk. And therefore, it's telling us he has to stand in front of the Mizbeach, which is Lifnei Hashem, but he himself is not closer in than the Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem. It's the Mizbeach, and only the Mizbeach, which is Lifnei Hashem. Okay, beautiful. So now we understand how the Pasuk has clearly indicated the differences between the Aveda of the Par and Sar of Yom HaKippurim in the Heichal as opposed to the Aveda of the Par of the Kohen Mashiach. Now the Mishnah says, Hitchil Mechate V'yored, that on each one of these corners, he would always go downwards. So, Me'echan Haya Matchil, Mikeren Mizrachit Dromit, so he starts on the Mizrach Doraim, and then he goes, we said, to the southwest, and from there to the northwest, and from there to the northeast, so says Rabbi Akiva. Now, why would he possibly do such a thing, and why is he going clockwise? It's a very strange, I mean, here's the situation. Think about this. He's walked out of the area where he did the Zriga, Hazoya, on the Parochet. He is now coming towards the Mizbeach, right? So now, I mean, the first part of the Mizbeach that he's going to be hitting is the part which is towards the west, because he was in the west before when he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he came out of the Parochet. So for some reason, he is skipping the west completely, and he goes to the east. Now, why does he go to the east? And then here's how crazy it is. He's walking right by the corner that he's going to do after he gets to the east, right? He's going to come now to that same corner, but it's going to be on the eastern side. And then he's going to walk back to the western side, and then he's going to keep going clockwise. Now, this is totally wrong for so many reasons. First of all, you're never supposed to walk by a mitzvah, right? Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvot. So why did he walk straight by the corner that he's going to get back to? And then if he's turning, why is he going in a clockwise direction? Well, remember we learned out from the Yamshel Shlomo that he's supposed to be going in a counterclockwise direction. So like everything about this is like really weird. And in fact, the Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says, no, this makes no sense. You start, look, I agree that you start on the northeast, which is also strange. Why would he walk by the west? But okay, he starts on the northeast, and from there he goes counterclockwise, the same thing that we always do. So then he would go from the northeast, he would then go to the northwest, then he would go to the southwest, and then he would go to the southeast. That is counterclockwise. Makom Rabbi Yossi HaGalili Matchil, so where Rabbi Yossi HaGalili begins, that's where Rabbi Akiva ends. Whoa. So we're all agreed that for some reason he walks by the side that you'd think he would go, which is the Ma'aravit. The question is, does he start on Mizrachit, on the Tzvonit side, or on the Dromit side? So Rabbi Yossi HaGalili starts on the Tzvonit, and that was where Rabbi Akiva ended. And the Mokom Rabbi Akiva Matchil, Sham Rabbi Yossi HaGalili Posek, because they're also going in opposite directions. So this is like really weird. So let's first figure out, why is it that both Rabbi Yossi HaGalili and Rabbi Akiva agree that you walk right by the place that you're supposed to be at? So they're both agreeing, the Kulei Alma Mia, that you walk past the western side at the beginning. And Bahu Karen de Paga Bereisha, whatever that side is, whether that side is to the north or to the south, but you walk by it on the west side. That they're both agreed to. Why is that? Lo Avid, why don't you do it there? My taima. Ah, says Shmuel, because that's part of the pasuk, the Yatsa El HaMizbeach. Yatsa means you have to go all the way past the Mizbeach. So then that means you got to go past the Mizbeach, turn around, and now you're facing the Mizbeach. So you certainly are not going to do it on the western side. Okay, that I understand. Now, Rashi understands that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi is dependent on the machlokas that we had about where did you come out of the Kodesh HaKadosh. So if you learn that you came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the southern side, because there were two curtains, and when you walk through the Amma between them, you would come out on the southern side. So then that means that after you turned around, sprinkled on the Parochet, you would still be towards the southern side. So then you would walk to the Mizbeach on the southern side, and you would walk past the south, the southern side that was to the west. You would walk past the southwest, and then you would start at the southeast. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, since he also was only one curtain, so then you were on the northern side when you did the Zrika, you would continue to walk past the northwest, because you have to be V'yotzel HaMizbeach, then you would turn around and you would be on the northeast side. Okay, fine, now I understand. Now, for some reason, Rabbi Akiva says you then go back to where you were before and you continue clockwise. Now, why is that? So then we have this other issue. According to Rabbi Akiva, aren't you supposed to always go counterclockwise? I mean, why does he argue about that? You're moving left instead of moving right. Does this mean that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGalilei are arguing about that fundamental question? And that was the Rami Bar Yecheskel's halacha, which was that we always go counterclockwise. Because Lema b'derami bar Yecheskel kol miflagei, are they arguing about that itself? D'yoma rami bar Yecheskel, what do we derive? This is in the Braita. What does it say in the Braita? That the yam she'asah Shlomo, it says in the pasuk, that yam, that was that big, massive, golden pool, and it was standing on 12 statues of oxen. So omed al shnei masar bakar. Three of them were facing north, three of them were facing west, three of them were facing south, and three of them were facing east. Now note that when we start in that direction, north, west, south, east, we are going counterclockwise. So we're moving as we're facing the Yam Shel Shlomo, we're moving around it counterclockwise towards our right, facing the Yam Shel Shlomo. And the yam was put on top of these statues, milamala, and the backs of all of these statues were inside underneath the yam. So halamadata kashiko pinocha tapone lo yeyala derech yamin, then as Rashi's pointed out before, lemizrach only makes sense when we're talking about the mizbeach, because you're standing on the southern side with the kevishes. The word lemizrach does not have a universal application, obviously. So, okay, but you should always go counterclockwise to your right. And Rabbi Akiva is going to his left, and he measures the Mizbeach HaZahav going around it clockwise. So apparently, Rabbi Yossi HaGalilei holds like Rami Bar Yecheskel, and he moves counterclockwise, right? And Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold a Rami Bar Yecheskel. So he moves around clockwise, right? Says Gemara, not necessarily. It could well be that Rabbi Akiva also agrees with Rami Bar Yecheskel, but Rabbi Yossi HaGalilei holds that we can even apply Rami Bar Yecheskel from the Yam Shel Shlomo, which was in the Azora, to how we would move inside of the Heichal, which means that we're learning out Pnim Michutz. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds, you cannot learn the Dinim inside the Heichal from laws of movement outside of the Heichal. That's a very important nakuda, because remember that in the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, your dimensionality becomes confused because of the way that we find that the Kelim aren't measured in three-dimensional space. So how in the world are you going to start learning that you're supposed to move in the same type of space, which is outside, is how you would move on the inside? You can't apply that. Maybe it has no application at all. Maybe you're stuck in a Klein's bottle somewhere. So anyway, this doesn't have any application, says Rabbi Akiva. And you can't, why would you say that? Okay, fine, Rabbi Akiva, I understand. Maybe you're in a Klein bottle. But I mean, you don't have to go out of your way to prove that you're doing something different, do you? I mean, you could move the way you normally move. So what are you telling me? You have to move dafka clockwise as opposed to the way you normally move. Why? What are you gaining by moving clockwise? So according to Rabbi Akiva, even if I agree, fine, lo yolif ne michutz, but you can do it either way, right? Iboy hachinavid, iboy hachinavid. You could do it in either direction. So why do you choose it like this? Amalekha Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you why. I have a very good reason, okay? Did you walk by the corner on the southwest a minute before? You walked right by it in order to get to the southeast, correct? That's not very nice, but you had no choice because you had to walk by it because it said V'yatza al HaMizbeach, right? Okay, don't you think that you ought to at least show your concern for having walked by and not even turned your face to the corner? Now go back and do it. At least it should be second in line, no? So that means you're going to have to go back to the corner that you passed on the western side. But that forces you to move clockwise. Fine, so once you're moving clockwise, so move clockwise around the rest of it. Brilliant. So Amar Le Rabbi Akiva, look, I mean, really you should have stopped at the first corner that you met. So Medina Bahu Karen Depaga Beresha Bahu Ovid Beresha, that's the principle, as we know from Reish Lakish later, but Rabbi Akiva took it for granted, that Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvot. The only reason you didn't do it there is because the Torah forced you not to do it there, because it said V'yatza Ala Mizbeach, you had to go out of the whole area. Ad Anafik Mikula Mizbeach, okay? Once you did what you got to do, and you put it on the Karen on the southeast, so now go back. It's only correct to put it where it should have been put. In the first place, you would actually put it there.